Hello, I'm Alex Renneman with Unleashed Tiger, and I'm here with Rick Wolf, who's running for the 73rd House of Delegate District. Rick, thanks for coming on the program.
Well, thanks for asking me.
Absolutely. Let's start out right off with share a little bit about your background and what made it motivated you to ultimately run for the House of Delegates.
I grew up in Morgantown. Age 19, I joined the Marine Corps. Spent 26 years in the Marine Corps. Retired in 98 as major. Came back here, took a job with a company, Litton PRC, that was building the FBI fingerprint identification system. And I worked with that company for about 3 years until they had a recompete on the contract. That company did not win. Lockheed Martin won, which was also a partner with us in building the system. So I started work for Lockheed Martin, became program manager and managed that for about 13 years and retired from Lockheed Martin in end of 2003. And, no, that's not right. End of 2013.
Oh, there you go.
I do various things. Work with a lot of volunteer groups. President of Rich Mountain Battlefield Foundation in Beverly, West Virginia. I participate with two Civil War roundtables, one in Morgantown, one in Clarksburg. Work with Clarksburg Museum. And that's about it. I've always been interested in politics. I thought this was a good opportunity to run since that seat was open. Amy Summers is not running again, so.
Okay, great. Well, I think, you know, let's move to the responsibility side and the roles. And so what do you see as the primary responsibility of a delegate, and how do you plan to fulfill those duties?
Well, there's 100 delegates. So, you know, you're one voice of 100. But I think some of the important things is education, and that would be the number one topic that I would push. A lot of that is just some common sense stuff. Teachers need a raise. That would be the top of my list. And the students all reading at a third grade level by the time they graduate from or move from third grade. Without being a good reader, that's going to limit people in their in their work.
Yeah. So knowing those are your top priorities, how would you plan to address those in the legislature?
Well, I think trying to get on the education committee for one. If that doesn't work, at least trying to push bills that are going to help the students and get our teachers the tools that they need to do their job, but then putting things in place that would hold the teachers accountable.
Yeah, makes sense. So you mentioned something about your history. I'd love to dig in just a little more. Provide an example or two of how you've demonstrated leadership in the past and how those experiences maybe will help you in serving as a delegate for this district.
Well, leadership, that's number one in the Marine Corps. So I had 26 years of that, going from private up to gunnery sergeant, and then from chief warrant officer to major. After I got out of Marine Corps, the leadership here leading a 200 workforce at the FBI center for 10 years. The work with Rich Mountain Battlefield Foundation, it was just barely limping along as far as finances, making payroll, but that's about it. We are in a very good shape right now financially, where we can do some additional things that help preserve the battlefield and tell the story of the Battle of Rich Mountain, one of the significant battles in West Virginia and the United States, pushing George McClellan forward as leader of all Union forces. I think as far as leadership goes, you've got to influence people. There's of course, there's a boot camp way of leadership, which does not work in the civilian community. So it's more come on, let's do it type things, and influencing people that way. And, you know, working with the tools you have, knowing what the limitations are, your own limitations, plus the limitations of either money or resources.
Perfect. And, you know, when you look at our state, you know, there's challenges abound and opportunities yes. abound. So let's talk about both challenges and opportunities. Let's start with challenges. What do you feel is kind of our most pressing challenges as a state, and how would you look to address them as a delegate?
Number one is education. We do, and I've talked about that. We've got to bring, without a educated workforce, jobs are not going to come to the state. We have jobs now. We've got openings for jobs, but we don't have the workforce to fill all the positions. We need to influence the students to want to learn, to want to push their education and get a good job. Make them understand that they can do anything. Broadband, internet service, and cell service are two important things, and the state is really lacking in that. Over the years, we have spent millions of dollars given to companies, and they have not performed. I think part of that is that some of the people in the government, either elected officials or government workers, did not understand the technology, and they allowed companies to pull the wool over their eyes. You know, we gave $270 some million to Frontier and got very little out of it. You can't fire and forget. When you award a contract, it's got to be followed up on. And I the education and resources are the only thing that's going to pull us out of the problems that we have.
Great. Well, sorry. Go
and
ahead.
Not all the education is students. Some of the education is parents. So. Those are things that we need to, you know, every child reading, that should be a saying that we should see that on billboards. And that needs to be pushed to the teachers, to the parents, community groups.
Okay, so let's go to the other side. So we could continue to talk for hours on our challenges, of course, but there's opportunities here. And so I guess, what opportunities do you see for our state, for whether it's growth and or prosperity in the future?
Tourism, I think the governor's done a great job on pushing tourism, and Chelsea Ruby as Secretary of Tourism. I think we spent a lot of money there. I mean, if you look at it, there, a lot of money's been spent on tourism, but I think it's paying off. And so that is one thing that needs to be pushed. And that trickles down. Like in Beverly, playing off some of the things that tourism has done, offering tours, bus tours from other states. And of course, there's still the coal mines. We need to make the most out of that. The Marcellus Shale oil, it's gas. We need to exploit the success we've had there. We need people to move to the state. We're losing people, so I think some of the government policies on paying people to come back to the state, paying people to come to the state and work, I think those will work to a certain extent. But let's look at what the Eastern Panhandle has done. It's so close to D.C., it's attracting people there. Well, we need to expand that. We need to convince people that living in Morgantown, Fairmont, Grafton, Clarksburg, Bridgeport, that these are good small towns to live in.
How do you plan, you know, this is a representative republic in America, and this model that we have in the state is similar, that you'll be representing the 73rd district if you were to be elected into this role down in Charleston with lawmaking and whatnot. So how do you plan, if you're elected, to engage with the constituency in a real and meaningful way to make sure their voices are heard when you're down in Charleston?
Well, I think talking to individuals, especially people that don't necessarily see things your way, seeing what they feel is the role of government and what we should be doing to help the individual back in the county. 73rd District, most of that's Taylor County. And just talking to people, going to the coffee shop on Saturday morning and hearing not necessarily the good things you're doing, but what they don't like or what they're not seeing happen in Charleston. I think just because you're a representative does not mean you have to pass bills. Sometimes I think, especially this last session, I think some of the bills were a waste of time, that they should have been working on the budget and ways to draw jobs into West Virginia rather than some of the other bills that were passed.
Yeah, so we're on the downslide here, Rick. We're almost finished up. Two more questions. One is just, I know you talked a little about your history and why you're running, but almost an origin story of sorts of sharing maybe a memorable experience or something that happened to you that helped shape your approach to public life and public service and why we're even having this conversation.
Well, I think it's got to go back to my childhood. My dad's World War II vet. The people that, uncles, neighbors, they were World War II vets. And I think just the being brought up with that, that group of people, and then Kennedy became president, And, you know, it was, ask not what you'll do for your country or what your country will do for you. Ask what you will do for your country. I think that has always stuck. There's a certain obligation that citizens have, and not everyone has to join the military, but you've got to contribute. You got to vote, serve on juries. I mean, I found it shocking the number of people that made every effort to get out of serving on a jury. I mean, that's part of being a citizen. So those things have always stuck with me. Cliff and Wanda Wolf raised three pretty good kids.
That's great, Rick. Hey, so as customary on this program, we give the candidate the last word. So as we conclude here, what final message would you like to leave with the voters?
Give me a chance. Vote for Wolf for House of Delegates. If I don't do a good job, I will not run again. But give me a chance to go to Charleston and try to do something.
Excellent. All right, Rick Wolf for the 73rd House of Delegates. Rick, thanks for coming on the program and good luck in the election.
Thank you.